and welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here's this week's talk, Baraka.
Hey everyone that will watch this, everyone listening. Today I'm with Scott McNamara. I had heard about Scott, and then last year I got to hang out with him for a couple of days. He, let me just wait. Yes, so that is our friend Scott. I was able to hang out with him last year for a few days, and you know, Scott, I loved your humility. I loved how you taught, and I just love what you did, and even the time we spent together at the chippy shop, that was one of my highlights during that time.
Hey man, that was fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about it a bit here. Well, we'll see how that goes. Scott is part leads and is part of what is called Jesus at the Door, and what's at the core of their heart is to empower everyone to just be able to share Jesus. And so Scott agreed to this interview, which I am very grateful for, to talk to us about that. So welcome, Scott.
Yeah. Thank you. It's great to see you again. Great to be with you again. And likewise, I enjoyed thoroughly my time with you and getting to know you. And I loved your heart, bro. So it was a pleasure to come and try and be a blessing in any way I can.
Thank you very much. Well, so yeah, let's just start with, you know, you telling us about yourself, you know, a bit of your family, where you live, maybe what you do, what things give you joy.
Yeah. Well, I'm from Liverpool in England originally, but I moved to Ireland, Northern Ireland, about 15 years ago when I met my wife at Bible college. And then we decided that she's from Northern Ireland. We met in London at Bible college. So we decided we would go to Ireland and sort of, you know, give it a try there. So that's where we went. And then I was employed by Alan Scott, who some of you guys in the vineyard might know. He actually now pastors Anaheim in California. So he was my pastor at Causeway Coast Vineyard Church. And he employed me to be their first full-time evangelist. And I was kind of nervous because for me, it was my first role as an evangelist officially. Mm-hmm. And I stepped into that place, felt a little out of my depth. And I was on a six month trial position, which was fruit dependent. Yeah. So I was kind of feeling a lot of pressure to deliver and those kinds of things. And then the Holy Spirit really spoke to me very soon into me being on the street. My job was just 5 days a week to stand on the street and share Jesus with strangers. Yeah. So that was kind of my office, is where I was based. And the Lord spoke to me very early on, and he said, I want you to imagine that people are like apples on a tree, and when you share, I'll shake. And I understood for the first time in my life that evangelism was about partnership. And I didn't really understand that up until that point. And I saw it like this fluid, it's almost like a fluid dance where, you know, the Holy Spirit is the dance partner, and he moves, and then we counter move. And then he moves and we counter move. And it's like this fluid motion. And I understand and began to understand what he was saying to me. And it's kind of like the Great Commission. I tell it this way, that the Great Commission wasn't called the Great Mission. It was a co-mission because it's an invitation into partnership. Nice. And I just loved the way the Lord was beginning to show me these things. So that's kind of how that began. And then the Holy Spirit gave me 9 points in the harvest fields with a non-believer. And I would write them down on my phone, and then we ended up with Jesus at the Door. So that was our time in Ireland. And then after 3 years of working full time on the streets, the Holy Spirit said, "Now go and give it away to the wider church." Wow. So that's when we stepped down. We went full time with Jesus at the Door at the beginning of 2017, and we just began to trust the Lord to open doors for us to equip the saints and equip the body. And that's what we've been doing. And then that led us to the US. I was offered a job in the US, originally actually by Carl Tuttle in California, offered me a job. I received a prophetic word from Bob Fulton, and all this kind of stuff happens kind of around some of the vineyard guys. And all that to say, we ended up getting clear words from the Lord that America was where we should be. Mm-hmm. So we didn't go to California yet, but we believe we will at some stage. I actually didn't take the job that was offered to me. I didn't really feel it was the right thing at that time. So we decided that we would go to Washington instead. And I was offered a job there by a church who sponsored our visa. But really, they give us the dream job, which was to say, you can run Jesus at the door from here, but we give you freedom to kind of go, come and go as you please, really. We'll support you. We believe in what you do. So, that's the position. I mean, I work for with the church called the Promise Church, who are an amazing church. And we've really seen God just pour out his blessing and growth upon this church in the past. Not even 2 years. It'll be 2 years in December. It'll be when we moved here. So, yeah, I've got four kids and a beautiful wife. And this is where we're based, just north of Portland, Oregon, is where we are, just over that border into Washington. Mm-hmm. And it's been an interesting season. There's been a lot going on in America at the moment, a lot of darkness, a lot of pain and trouble. So, you know, the Lord has brought us here, I believe, for this time.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to even talk about, you know, just you sharing Jesus in this season, because a lot of the world is in similar, even though differently nuanced, in similar situations where people are in pain. There's a lot of darkness, yet it's I feel like it's the kicks of a dying donkey. God is moving so powerfully, and the enemy's in panic.
Totally.
And I also want to pick up something you said right off the bat, that sharing Jesus, evangelism, is partnership with God. And I love that image that, you know, if we share Jesus, they're like apples. God will shake the tree, and he's the Lord of the harvest. That's kind of cool.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, so why don't you just share with us a bit about your passion for sharing Jesus? You know, why should the church do it? Who could do it? And, you know, why are you so passionate about this?
Yeah, for me, you know, when I first came to when I first accepted the Lord, it was in 2001. I was 24 years of age. I was a cocaine addict and alcoholic, living this crazy lifestyle. And I saw my conversion moment really came from a drug overdose where I saw the gates of hell. I was given $800 of pure cocaine by a gangster friend of mine, and I began to take it with my friend, and my friend overdosed in front of me. And he basically died in front of my eyes, and he was taken off in an ambulance. And as I stood in the street, I could see the gates of hell, the doorway to hell, the entry point to hell open up before me. Yeah. And everyone was whispering, Scott's going to overdose. I could hear them all talking. And I began to do the same thing as my friend. I began to convulse and I couldn't breathe. Mm-hmm. And I knew in moments that I would cross the line, what I call the precipice of eternity. I knew that I would go to hell. Now, I believed in God. When I was 15 years of age, at a youth conference, I prayed to the sinner's prayer to accept Jesus into my heart when I was 15. Mm-hmm. But I would say that I only really gave him 50% of my life. I kind of prayed. I believed, I had reverence for God, but I didn't follow him. I wasn't on the narrow path that leads to life. I was on the wide road that leads to destruction. So frankly, I believed. And like I tell people, you can be on the wrong road believing in the right God. And that's who I was. Yeah. I was that guy. So I came to the age of 24 and I got mixed up in drugs and sex and all the stuff that goes with it. And I realized in this moment that giving God 50% of me was about to take 100% of me to hell.
Wow.
And that scared me. And I cried out to God. I said, please keep me alive. Keep Stephen alive, my friend who just died. Yeah. Keep us alive and I'll turn to you. And in my desperation, I made this deal with God where I said, if you keep me alive, then I'll give my life to you, whatever life I have.
Yeah.
So he did that. He kept me from crossing that line. My friend was resuscitated in the ambulance and discharged the next day. And it was soon after that that I accepted the Lord. It wasn't immediately because I still tried to keep on sinning, but I couldn't do it. It didn't taste the same to me. Mm. The Lord, he keeps you to your word. So, within a matter of months, I accepted the Lord and had a powerful conversion moment. And my friend, 6 months after me, Stephen, who overdosed, he accepted the Lord also. And, and he's been planting churches. And I'm an evangelist, so the Lord has been doing. He was actually just in Africa. There, he has a real heart for Africa. He was actually there just I think last year. So I think maybe even in Kenya today, if my memory serves me correctly. So yeah, so it was an amazing journey. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just want to highlight that. So here are two cocaine addicts giving their lives to sex, drugs, and everything that comes with it. And here's God reaching out for the two of you in the deepest of darkness.
No, that's exactly what happened. It was amazing, really, to see the hand of God upon our lives. So for me, when I accepted the Lord, you know, I describe it this way, you know, if you place your head into the bosom of the Lord, then you're going to hear his heartbeat for lost people. That's kind of the only way I can describe it, you know? So for me, I was embraced by a father's embrace. And the closer I got to him, the more I felt that for lost people. Nobody sent me on a conference. I didn't listen to any podcasts. But what happened was I just got close to his heart, and I felt it beating for the people that didn't know him. So that moved me, and that made me think, man, if I want to love him, if I want to try and in some way give back something, well, the best way to do it is to go where his heart is moving, and that is with people who don't know him. So that's immediately how it began for me, and I just began to do that. I didn't really know what I was doing, if I'm honest. I would just fumble around. I would fumble in the dark, and I didn't really have much fruit, you know. But all I knew is that I had to tell somebody, and that's kind of the basis where it came from. So, what I would say is, you know, what I often tell people is the Great Commission. It wasn't given to evangelists; it was given to disciples. So you know, God had marked me as an evangelist, but even still, you know, we're all called in some way to make disciples. All of us. Jesus didn't give us an out. And the reason he didn't give us an out is because, you know, he wants everybody in, because this is the greatest honor that we can have as a Christian, is to share that message that changed our lives. So that really marked me and showed me that, man, that everybody can do this thing. And that's why God gave me Jesus at the door. It's a way that every single believer can partner with him. It's an invitation. You know, if I had a party and I'm like, hey, I want you to come to my party, then I'd give you an invitation. What Jesus, he extends an invitation, because there's a party in heaven that happens when sinners repent. And he's giving you an invitation. He's saying, do you want to be involved in this party? Do you want to come to my party? It's a party of celebration where sinners come home. And he's extending that invitation to every blood-bought believer.
Yeah. Wow. It's just so cool hearing you say that we cannot lean on the heart of the Father and not hear it beating for the lost. I think last month as we were going through Easter, I was looking at the Great Commission again, and realizing that the things Jesus invited us to do, he didn't say, "Oh, do it when it's convenient." He didn't say, "You know, do it when you're very successful at it." He didn't say, do it when you've been, you know, when you've been in this discipleship thing for years. He said, go out and do it. And so I am really convinced it's an obedience issue. If we are going to be disciples of Jesus, sharing the reason for our hope, sharing our faith is an obedience issue.
Yeah, and I agree.
No,
I was just going to say, I agree. And, you know, the Great Commission wasn't, as people often say, wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. He told us to go and do it. He didn't give us an option. You know, you love me, you obey me.
Yeah. And I guess that leads me to the other question. That the challenge we've had is it's often been made very mysterious. You know, it's for the evangelists, and here we are saying no, actually it's for everyone who loves Jesus and who is following Jesus. How does anyone get to do it? And you know, in the Vineyard we often say everyone gets to play. So how then do we release everyone to go do what the Father already released them and empowered them to do it?
Yeah, let me just say that this is just something that's coming to me quick.
Yes, yes.
I was really impacted in my life by Reinhard Bonnke, and obviously he had a heart for Africa. Yeah. Reinhard Bonnke's desire was for Africa. Yeah. So it's kind of funny how the Lord works, but you just something you said there just made me think of this. But I was just sharing with somebody recently about how the Lord just, how he gets his hand on you. But when I was 15, I went to a Reinhard Bonnke event in Liverpool. Mm-hmm. At a sports center, so it wasn't even that big.
Yeah.
And just shows you, you know, how kind of the size, the scale of this thing. But I went with my friend Stephen, the guy Stephen who overdosed with me, because we went to school together. So me and him went along to this event. We both responded when we were young, and then, you know, all those years later, we did what we did. But so it's kind of funny. But anyway, all that to say is Daniel Kalender, who now leads Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. Mm-hmm. I have a book coming out in the end of September, which is called Evangelism Made Easy. And it's Evangelism Made Easy. And Daniel Kalender wrote the foreword for the book. And he said this, and this is, you just triggered it. He said that he believes Jesus at the door. He said, it demystifies the often dreaded work of evangelism. That was his quote, part of his quote in the foreword, that it demystifies the often dreaded work of evangelism. So the reason that I'm saying that is because I believe, you know, he worded it beautifully, because I believe that is what it does. It just breaks down all the pressure. Yeah. It breaks down all the what ifs. Yeah. What if they say this? What do I say? Yeah. All the fear that surrounds it. It just smashes through all of that, you know? And we use from Corinthians, where Paul said, we use the Spirit's words to explain the spiritual truths. And that's, I feel, what Jesus at the door, it's the Spirit's words that explain spiritual truths of the gospel, which means, because it came from him, it's laced in his presence. Yeah. And it means that everybody can just jump onto that thing. So, I feel that, you know, I feel the gospel is the power, and you know, we've got to bring it back to the power of salvation. I understand, okay, I've never prayed for a sick person and seen them healed. I've never given a word of knowledge. And what that does, it sidelines people. They think, well, I'm not going to get involved. You know, you talked about everyone gets to play. Well, unfortunately, not everyone feels they can play because of some of these reasons. We've set this bar, and this bar says, if you do it this way, then you get to play. So, you know, and depending on the culture, the circles you mix in, but generally that bar tends to be prophetic healing. If you move in healing, you move in words and knowledge, then you get to play.
Then you're ready.
So often we don't see the small print. People are like, we get to play, which is true. But then people think, well, yeah, you can play, but here's the standard. So what we're trying to do is bring this bar right down and say, hey, you never moved in words and knowledge, never moved in healing. That's fine, because the gospel itself is the power of God unto salvation. So even without the extras,
the often glamorized.
Without that, the gospel is enough.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Because we focus on, you know, I look at it like a car. The gospel is the vehicle. And let's say that the prophetic is the gas pedal and healing are the gears. Okay. Mm-hmm. So without the engine, without the car, you could have the best prophetic or the best healing, but you're not going to get to your destination. And your destination is salvation if you're doing it properly. So we need the vehicle. People have forgotten about the vehicle and they've honed in on the gears and the gas pedal. So we're just trying to bring it back to the gospel.
Yeah. Well, I think last year, one thing I heard you say that was really caught my attention, and I think I also heard one of the Vineyard pastor talking about this. He was living in a very rough neighborhood, and one day he prayed for someone to get healing, and they did get healed, and they just walked away and continued their life of sin. And it's not that God isn't pursuing them, but I think every moment we encounter people, there's an opportunity to make this invitation. And so sometimes we make it about all these other things, which are important and they're part of the story, and forget that we have a very, very beautiful and important invitation.
And come on. Amen.
And you know, you know, when you started talking about Bonnke, I actually wrote it down, because what came to my mind, I didn't know that your story would turn out like this, but what came to my mind is I think that there is someone who will listen or watch this who actually attended a Bonky gathering, gave their life to Jesus, and they walked away. And I think God is calling you back. So I didn't know that at the end of your story, it would be the same thing, that two people who God had marked had actually given their lives to Jesus and walked away, and still God came in and brought you in. So if you're listening and that's your story too, feel free to write to us and or actually, well, because Scott is going to talk about just, I hope, Jesus at the door. And if you want to give your life to Jesus, that's amazing. That would be one of the best things this interview has accomplished. So Scott, why don't you talk to us about Jesus at the door, if you don't mind. How did it come to you, and how can any of us be part of this?
Yes. So the way it was birthed, like I said, a reference at the beginning, it was in that what I call the harvest field. So I was with non-believers on the street, and I would stop them, and I would begin by praying for them. You know, so I'd say, hey, you know, can I pray for you? So I would pray for them, and then as I'm praying for them, often I didn't have chance to always share the gospel because they had to leave. I mean, if we look at the story that Jesus told of the 10 lepers, and only one came back to praise God. So the other nine took their healing and left. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you referenced about an individual who prayed for somebody who didn't get healed and left. But the thing is, Jesus referenced nine who got their healing but still left.
Yeah.
So again, this is the point. We can't base our evangelism alone on healing, because the truth of it is, even if they get healed, well, they're still on the road to hell. So without repentance, all they're doing is they're going with a healthy body walking to hell. So they need, you know, they need to be a level of repentance. Otherwise, what happens? You've just stopped them, said, hey, let me heal you, and send you straight back to hell, on the way to hell. So so that's really important that we do that. So for me, I began to pray for the sick, and then think, man, I need to share Jesus with them. Sometimes I did, sometimes they wouldn't listen. So what I decided to do was to go straight with the gospel, and then I would pray for healing after. That way I knew that if they walked away, well, at least that I've given them the gospel. That is the power of God. Yeah. So I began to do that. The Holy Spirit began to give me 9 points, which is a way that I can share the gospel in a matter of minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's what began to happen. So this is our image that we have. I know you have an image on there, but this is, and these are the 9 points that we have, and it's broken into three sections. Yes. And I mean, I can send you guys it's okay.
Yeah.
So that's our actual image. You must have drafted that one offline somewhere, but that's the actual one. I can get you guys this, but we have an app too that is free, and we have it 30 languages in our app also. So the idea is, on this, you have this card, and it's three sections and 3 points to a section. The first three are all about the picture. The blue zone, we call it the blue zone. The red zone is all about sin, and the yellow zone is all about repentance. So literally, we began to use this. People began to use it. Lots of people began to get saved. People began to translate it and just take it to different nations. Mm-hmm. And it's been incredible to see the Lord really breathe on it. And we've seen people who have never shared the gospel lead people to Jesus with this. We had one guy. When I was in the UK, actually, when I met you, Edgar, I was at a church in on the same trip. I was in Bournemouth. I went to Bournemouth, and I trained a guy called in there. It was with John Coastline Vineyard Church, with John Thompson.
I remember that.
Yeah, and I was there, and we trained a guy called Charles. And there's a guy called Charles who's 48 years a believer, never led anybody to Jesus in 48 years. And after our training, he was so inspired that he went knocking doors with his wife and led his first person to the Lord. Amazing. So we've seen lots of stories like that. I was at on that trip. For instance, we met that night to drive down to down south to go to speak at a church there. And the next day I spoke, and the lady was crying in the toilet because she was so afraid. And a gentleman came to me and he said, "We need to leave now or we won't go." And this lady was like weeping because she was so afraid. Fear had her so strong, you know. And as I often tell people, fear is a spirit, you know. So if fear has got a hold of you, it's because it's a spirit, and it's not of God. You know, He didn't give you the spirit of fear, but He gave you power, love, and a And so she's there and she's embracing and sharing and smiling with the lady. So we've seen people really come out of that place. And we believe that this tool, we believe that it can take you off the sidelines. And from somebody who says, I can't play because I'm not qualified, we're going to give you this and we're going to say it's the gospel. And all you have to do is just read it and you'll see the same things.
And it's also available on an app, you said.
Yeah, so we have a free app. It's just called Jesus at the Door. And you can go on there and you can get that on your cell phone. You can get that app and it will have that image. It will have that. It will have a follow-up card, which is this. And then you can electronically, after you lead somebody to Jesus, it's no good just leading them and saying, have a nice life, see you in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, so what we do is we electronically write down their name and phone number via the app. And then we send them this image as an MMS message. They receive that as a text message, a picture message. Wow. And then you can keep in touch with them. Yeah.
That's amazing. That's so cool. Well, just tell us, you know, what has it been like sharing Jesus in this crazy season the world is in?
Is there
more hunger, or is it any easier? Is it any harder?
Yeah, I mean, from my perspective, I find it's pretty much the same in terms of, you know, I do this thing pretty much every day. So I'm kind of sharing the gospel wherever I'm at, in my community, whether I go to the local store, I kind of do this thing. So I've found that, I found that there's always, the way I've described it, there's always ripe apples everywhere you go, you know. So Jesus said, the fields are white for harvest. So if we look at that through the apple example, there's always apples that are ready to fall. We just don't have enough hands to catch them. Jesus said the laborers are few, the harvest is plentiful, the laborers are few. There's not enough hands to catch the falling apples, which is why many people fall to the ground. When an apple falls and it's not being caught but it's ready to fall, what happens is it decays and it dies and it rots. Yeah, and that's what's happening. There's a harvest that's ready, but we don't have enough believers who believe it. I have found that people are ready, and we've seen some amazing things. We've been in the thick of it. We went to where people are protesting, and we've just got back from Seattle, what's called the Chop Zone. Mm-hmm. It's six blocks. The police were kicked out of the precinct, and it became just this kind of protest gathering where thousands of people came and just hung out day and night for many weeks. So we went there. We took the Lord there, and you know, there was a lot of violence and stuff breaking out, but also the gospel was breaking out, and our team got to baptize people on the ground zero where it all began in Carl Anderson Park. We got to baptize people in a little like dinghy boat, a rubber inflatable boat, and things like that. Lots of people accepted the Lord. People were healed. People were delivered of demons, and so our team, we actually linked arms with CFAN, with Christ for All Nations, and we went there with that team and Jesus at the Door, and we linked arms and went together, and really made a dent for the kingdom. It was very powerful. So
that's
what we've been doing. So so if you guys want to know a story, I can share a story, a story
please.
Or two if you'd like me to.
Please,
so during the COVID lockdown, the panic when it was kind of at its worst, where we are, there's a friend from our New Believers group. She said, "Would you come and pray for somebody?" Somebody, it was actually her boyfriend. She said, "Would you come and pray for my boyfriend? He's from California. He's a biker, and he's just come up. They'd split, and they got back together. So he just come to see her." So me and one of my new believers, we went to this kind of compound area where they were staying. And this guy's very standoffish. He was in the background, wouldn't really kind of come close. But at the end of the time that we were together, this lady said, "Would you pray for all of us?" So we all gathered around them in a circle and prayed. And as we were praying, the Holy Spirit told me about this, something about this individual. His name was Tim. So the Holy Spirit gave me a word of knowledge. So what I did, I just said, "Tim, can I share this with you?" So I began to share these points with him, just like I do every day, no matter what environment I'm in. It's the best way that I can present the gospel in a condensed fashion that packs a punch. So I shared it, and then I had a word of knowledge, and I gave that to him, and he began to cry. Now, this guy's a biker from California. He's been in prison. multiple times. He was a crystal meth dealer, all these kinds of crazy lifestyle. And I gave this word to him and he began to cry. And he said he's never cried in his life. And he accepted Jesus right there in that moment. And he became, within days, he's in my home. I'm discipling him immediately. He's then part of our new believers group, part of our church. And so the Lord began to do something wonderful. So within about 6 weeks, he was with me in Portland. And we were, I was on a megaphone sharing with like a crowd of protesters. He was with me. So together we went and shared the gospel to protesters. Now, just earlier this week, we went to the Chop Zone in Seattle. And this guy was with one of our team members, and he's sharing the gospel and is part of leading people to Jesus after just a couple of months. It was incredible. Yeah, and just he's straight on it. He's doing it, and just seeing that happen. On Sunday, he got baptized at our church because our church is opened up. So Sunday, he gets baptized, and then last night we had a new believers group. And this story came back. So there was a lady there. I'd led this lady to the Lord a couple of months ago. She came to the church with her two kids. And she's there with a mom and a sister. And Tim is getting baptized. And it's kind of the ripple effect. And as Tim gets baptized, he splashes and he kind of goes a bit crazy. We would say crazy, but some people would say crazy. I say free. So he gets free and he's like, just so excited that he splashes the water and he's jumping up and down.
Yeah.
And the water splashes on the cameraman. It splashes on people on the front row.
Yeah.
So this lady, her name's Renee. She's one of our new believers. Her son's about 7 or 8, was in the front row. And the next week after that baptism, he went around telling everybody, saying, I've been partially saved because that water hit me a little. Because the water splashed on me, I got partially. I've been partially saved also, and I've been partially baptized also.
Yes.
Then what he did to his little brother, he actually got in trouble because he didn't realize, but he put his little brother under the water in the paddling pool, and he said, "I'm baptizing him like I saw them do at church." This lady suffers with depression, and she said for the first time in years, I haven't been depressed since Sunday.
Wow. Yeah.
Since I was at that baptism, I haven't suffered with it. I felt different. Yeah. And because of that, my kids have felt different. Yeah. And the mother of this lady, Renee, the mother is a believer. And the mother came to me crying. And she said, thank you for stopping my daughter in Walmart. I stopped in a local store. She said, thank you. I just approached her with this image. She said, thank you for stopping my daughter. I've been praying for my kids. And I thank you for what you've done. And last night, Renee came to her first new believers group with her sister. And she was crying as she told this story. And she just said that my mental health has been so much better. And thank you so much. And that is the kind of things that we're seeing. And then I'll just share one more story also. But on Tuesday, on Monday, we were in the Chop Zone in Seattle. Yeah. And I felt that I should go home. Mm-hmm. We were going to stay, but I felt to go home. So I went home and I went knocking doors. In my neighborhood near where I live. So we knocked on a door and I trained a gentleman. I was training him in Jesus at the door. We knocked on a door. The lady answered the door and she accepted Jesus. And she was crying and she said that a year ago, almost a year ago to this day, like in a week, less than a week, I was raped in my home. And it happened in my home on my daughter's birthday, the 29th of June, in my home on almost the anniversary is almost coming up. And I've been dreading the anniversary because it's the same day as my daughter's birthday.
Yeah.
But she accepted Jesus. And the father of her kids was in the house also in the background. Yeah. And this guy used to beat this lady. He used to beat her. Her name's Lily. And he used to beat her up and they split. And now he's got all these problems, the guy.
Yeah.
So she accepted Jesus and she came to our new believers group last night.
Yeah,
and she's just weeping the whole evening, the whole night she's weeping. And the boyfriend, the father of her kids who used to beat her, he came to collect her to give her a ride. Mm-hmm. And while he was there, I got to share with him also. Mm-hmm. And now he's coming to church also with her and the kids on Sunday.
Amazing. So what I'm hearing you say is that the harvest is plentiful. So many people's hearts, because we were meant for for God, are crying out to God. And it's it takes those who believe, it takes disciples of Jesus to get off the side road and get on the road of Jesus. Wow, that's so cool. Scott, I just really want to appreciate this, and I just want to point out again, there's a free app, Jesus at the Door, if you want to try this. And I think just hearing some of what Scott is saying, everyone and anyone can and has been called to do this. And, you know, like with, from some of your stories, it doesn't have to be, we don't have to have been following Jesus for too long. Scott, why don't you pray? I think there might be a few people listening to this who want to follow Jesus. They are ripe apples. And two, I think there are people who listen to this who can feel it right now that they're being called to get off the side and start playing.
Yeah, amen. No, for sure. I would love to pray for that. Yeah. So for you guys who, I'm just coming here because my kids are there, so I want to get a bit of silence. Yeah. Just so there's no distractions and the noises.
So
I would just say, if you're watching this and you haven't accepted the Lord, and by that I mean fully accepted him in terms of, you know, 100%, like I said earlier on, you can accept Jesus 50%, you can pray a prayer and you can give him your heart. Maybe that's even 90% of your heart, but the truth of it is you can't cut yourself two ways. You can only go one way or the other. And Jesus calls us to follow him on that road. So the way I would describe it to you guys is, I'm just going to walk you through this. So this image here, this is Jesus knocking on the door of your heart. And as you can see, the handle is on the inside. And that means only you can open the door to let him in. Now, lots of people pray. I'm sure that you guys watching, you know, you live in a religious nation. I'm sure you pray, but praying is like talking through the door. You know he's there somewhere, but you don't know him personally. Now, I want you to visualize a backpack on your back. If we filled it with all of your sins, would it be a heavy bag? Now, I'm sure if you're honest, we have all done things we shouldn't have done. We'd all have something in that bag. And that bag represents your debt with God. It stops you having a relationship with him. So another example, if you owe the bank, what's your currency, Edgar, where you live? What do you call the currency there?
Shilling.
Shilling?
Yes.
Oh, you guys have shillings. Well, we used to have that back in England in the old days.
Yes, thanks to the empire.
You kept it. It's still there.
Yes.
Oh, crazy. So the shillings. So you owe, what would be equivalent? Just say, like, I don't know, like £10,000. What would be the equivalent of that in your money?
Over a million shillings.
Okay. So let's say you owe the bank a million shillings. I write you a check for that million. And I give you the check and you deposit the check in your bank, what would happen to your debt? It would be cleared. Or even let's say, if you owed an individual lots of money, you owed an individual a million shillings, and I came up and I said, I'm going to pay what you owe. I'm going to give it to you. How would you feel about that? You know, you would feel amazing knowing that your debt's been cleared. And that's what Jesus did for you on the cross. He wrote you a check and he signed it in his blood, not a pen. It cost him everything. And he's standing at the door of your heart today, right now, wherever you are. And he's knocking and he's saying, will you cash it? So what I want to ask you is this. If Jesus were there right now, would you let him in? If he was in front of you right now, wherever you are, and he said, would you open the door? Would you respond by yes? Here it is. It's open. If you would say yes to that, then I want to ask you this. Can you see the wind? When the wind blows, you can't see it, but you can feel it. So just like the wind, I believe Jesus is here right now. And I want to pray for you to feel his presence. So Holy Spirit, I just ask you right now, this moment, Lord, whoever's watching, I know that you know everything about them. You know every hair on their head. And I ask you, Lord, that you'd reveal your love to them. Holy Spirit, in this moment, that you would reveal Jesus to them. I pray you change the atmosphere wherever they're sitting or stood right now. Let them encounter the love of a Savior. In this moment, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, if you felt anything inside of you right there, a change in the atmosphere, a shift, a warmth, a tingling, that's God's presence. And he's saying, I love you so much. and I want to invite you into this relationship. So there's only one last thing. Now, in order to receive all of that Jesus has done for you, there's only one thing you have to do, and that is this. Like I just touched on the beginning, you have to leave the road you're on without Jesus. You have to leave the wide road that you're on without him. You have to turn and change direction and follow him onto the narrow path. If you don't follow, then you can't go. You need to change. You need to spin. You need to turn. So would you be willing to turn? Now, maybe some of you guys are like, well, I'm happy to believe, but I don't think I want to follow. And that's your choice. But make no mistake, the wide road that you're on will take you to hell, because I stared it down and I know it's real. So leave that road, leave that path, and follow a shepherd who loves you like Jesus. If you want to follow him, then just echo these words with me. If it's from your heart, with your mouth, then it will be done. Talk is cheap. Your heart needs to be connected to these words. If your heart's in it, God will honor your words and he'll come. So just say with me, say, Jesus, I open my heart to you. I say sorry for my sin. I choose to follow you. I make you the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And what I would encourage you guys to do, if you prayed that prayer, to reach out to Edgar or someone that you know who's a Christian and just tell somebody. Well, I often encourage people, tell three people what God has done, what the decision you've made. In the next 24 hours, find three people and tell them, strangers, family, friends, it doesn't matter. Just let them know. Begin your walk with the Lord, confessing Jesus before others, and he'll confess you before his Father. And then, Father, I just pray now for all those who are believers, who are watching this, that you'd inspire them, but awaken them to the call of the Great Commission. We don't have time to simply sit in buildings and hug each other. Lord, while there is a dying world out there who are longing for the truth that we carry. So I ask you in this moment, awaken, rescue us. It is too long. It's been too long that we've had spectators. It is now time for rescuers. You're awakening the rescuer. So I pray for all those watching this right now that you'd awaken them to not be spectators, but to be rescuers. Inspire them. I just release that impartation of all you put inside of me, that boldness and the desire for souls. I just release into my brothers and sisters right now. Holy Spirit, let them catch it in double portion. And Africa can never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Scott. And please just give my love to your wife and kids, and hopefully one day I'll meet you, and we can share more stories.
Amen. We would love that for sure.